the robot wasn't hiding. The robot was doing all of this out in the open as part of a semi-legitimate racket called dropshipping, which led me to the semi-legitimate racket of dropshipping influencers, who taught me that I could become a master of robots myself. And yet I was no closer to discovering the identity of whoever it was who had fooled me. The person who made up Walter and Beverly and Waverly Toronto and their sad luck story. And I never did find that person. Because I'm pretty sure that just like Walter and Beverly, that person does not exist. I started piecing it together when the carefully crafted consumer experiences of Waverly Toronto and its endless doppelganger websites began to glitch. For example, the website of Great Lake Fashion, well, it told me that it was governed by the laws of the Netherlands. The ostensibly elegant Canadian clother True Nova, they had been sending me ads for products for elegant older ladies, raincoats and handbags. And then all of a sudden it spat out the most lurid pornographic lingerie I had seen. Straps of overlapping tight vinyl and see-through mesh and the crotch covered by like a ribbon of leather no wider than a shoelace. Seemed pretty off-brand. Then a local Toronto boutique suddenly bragged to me that it had been loyally serving its customers in Malibu, Australia, for 20 wonderful years. It felt like these stores, across their websites, Facebook, YouTube, across platforms, it felt like they were on autopilot, on robot autopilot, and that pilot was hallucinating. I started wondering if my earlier premise was wrong. Nobody had meticulously crafted Walter and Beverly in order to prey upon my greed for deeply discounted Mink Mile luxury goods. Maybe nobody fabricated Walter and Beverly. Maybe somebody built a robot to do that.
What AI enables is the scale and scope, right? What would take, you know, let's say, you know, we were in 2010, you know, it would take work by people to create each one of those websites, host it, create the content to go with it. And AI has just allowed that to move so much more quickly, right? I think what you're, I'm also...
Last week, as we were getting ready to bring you this piece, CBC Manitoba broke a weird and sad story about a website called Manitoba Mode.
It's called Manitoba Mode. On the landing page, there's a photo of a building on fire and text saying, "This is the final goodbye." The company claims its warehouse in Flin Flon was destroyed by wildfires and that only a few pieces are left, which it's selling at deep discounts. There's even a countdown clock to imply urgency, which we found resets after it hits zero.
It was reported by Joanne Levasseur and Caroline Bargout, and many of the details sounded familiar to me. The owner of Manitoba Mode is a woman named Claire, a single mom living in the small city of Flin Flon. And she was closing shop after 15 great years. Now, everything must go. It was a fire sale. That sounds identical to all the other pitches, but this time it was a literal fire sale. Manitoba Mode claimed that its warehouse in Flin Flon, Manitoba, had burned down. And Claire now had to sell what little inventory she had left. There was a photo of Claire smiling in her shop, accompanying the testimonial. The AI did glitch a bit when rendering the logo behind her. It read, "Manitoba Mode." Yep, this was another fake. As CBC reported, there is no Manitoba Mode. There is no warehouse in Flin Flon that burned down. And there is no Claire. But over in real life, there are now over 20 active wildfires raging in Manitoba, and the largest is in Flin Flon,
Let's jump back to Manitoba, which was really our focal point yesterday, the first province to declare a province-wide state of emergency. We know there are more than 20 fires burning across the province. Many of them are out of control. And that includes the fire that has forced the evacuation of all of Flin Flon, Manitoba.
The entire city has been evacuated. Real people are losing everything. Flin Flon's mayor, George Fontaine, took time away from the emergency to comment on the fraudulent website to the CBC.
No, it's disgusting. It's a terrible thing. There's enough bad things going on in Flin Flon right now that nature has provided for us. We don't need this kind of behavior from people around.
We do not need that kind of behavior from people. But I can't help wondering if maybe Mayor George might have been shaming a robot, not a person. There is a person somewhere, someone who is responsible for setting all of this into motion. There is a person somewhere who is receiving all the money for this. But good luck finding them, says Neil Hartung of the Consumer Council of Canada. And even if you do find them, good luck bringing them to justice.
It's about resources at the end of the day, Jesse. You know, how many resources are you putting into protecting consumers, right? And in Ontario, well, the police budget in Toronto, for example, is, what, $1 billion? In Ontario, the whole consumer protection function is about $20 million, $22 million. You know, you do quick back of the envelope math on that, that's about $1.20 per resident of Ontario at a population of 15 million, right? So they largely run a call center that provides people with advice, but there's something like, I don't know, 3 part-time prosecutors and 8 to 10 inspectors for the entire province. Definitely, in my experience over 20-something years in this area, the amount of chicanery in the marketplace seems like it was more than it was in the past. Analog scams are slow, and you got to work them out, and it's a ground game. I think that there's very, very little protection against this sort of thing in the law, and that's, you know, it's there notionally, but that's about it. And there's lots of laws that would say, like, all of those are lies, right? And and mistruths. And the Competition Act would have stuff to say about that, but so what, right? Like, it's a $80, $100 purchase. There really is no remedy. There's no cop on the beat with a $20 million budget. And it's a kind of, you know, buyer beware.
You heard what the lawyer said. Buyer beware.
The sleeve length is what I'm still mouth a gap on.
That is your Canada Land. I hope you enjoyed it. You can email me about anything you heard today at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything you send. Our senior producer is Bruce Thorson. Lots of audio production today and editing from Caleb Thompson. Today's episode was fact-checked by Julian Abraham. Thanks today for the voice talents of Tristan Capicione, Noor Azria, and Caleb Thompson. Max Collins is our director of audio. I am the editor and publisher of Canada Land. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are talking about the news. We'll talk about these goddamn ostriches and why they really do need to die, despite what this American billionaire has to say about it.
We're worried that it's a pharmaceutical company influencing the Canadian government to destroy these birds.
Wait for that. Jen Wong, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
There are close to 400 ostriches on this farm where supporters from across the country are watching and worrying about the birds' future.
These are God's creatures.
We can't let them do this. Please come surround the farm. Don't let them do this to these beautiful animals.
the humane depopulation of the birds after 69 of them died of avian flu.
You see RVs, tents, people have set up camps.
But the farm says they haven't had a sick bird in more than 145 days.
Defying logic, defying science, defying humanity.
Dr. Oz, between you and Secretary Kennedy, you guys did a great job. We hope we have saved the lives of the ostriches in British Columbia.
You know, Jen, sometimes the clip pack tells a story, but some stories defy. Like, that just sounded like a random sound generator. Like, what the hell is this about? It is not an easy one. It is an absurd story. And I just want to put one caveat. The first one of us, between you and I, to make a stick your head in the sand or like this is for the birds pun will be culled.
Oh, God.
That host will be destroyed. Okay.
Okay.
So this is international news. And I'm learning so much as I try to get my head around this. Millions of birds have been destroyed since the avian flu outbreak and the global concern about this. Like millions.
Yeah, because avian flu is very dangerous.
We understand how it spreads. We can't let it out. So if like one chicken in a chicken farm tests positive for avian flu, they cull all of them.
Yeah.
And they compensate the farmer.
That's good to know.
Here's a digression before I even get into the ostriches. In researching this story, I came across my favorite piece of Canadian regulation here. This is on the justice.gc.ca website. Compensation for destroyed animals and things regulations. This is CDATR. I was so intrigued by the things. Compensation for destroyed animals and things regulations. And here we find out what every animal you could imagine is worth to the government. If the government demands that you destroy a registered dog, they give you $2,500.
Wow.
A cat's only worth
$500. that hurts cat people. Okay.
I'm going to put this link up in the show notes.
How much is a chicken worth?
Chickens, like it depends because there's like the grandfather breeding. It's like something like 25 to 50 or 60, something like that.
Okay.
Guess what the most expensive animal is to the Canadian government?
A mink?
Nope. Cows and bisons, which makes me think there's some lobbying involved because cows are worth more than horses, $8,000. Honeybees, $250 per colony is what you get paid back if you have to kill your bees. Hippos?
Who has a hippo?
I don't know.
Do you have one?
I don't have a hippo, but if I did and I had to kill it for the government, I'd get $5,000. But check this out. If I had to kill my pygmy hippo, I'd get $8,000. Less hippo, bigger payout.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that brings us to this story where I feel it's not properly reported. First of all,
yes,
the fact that you get all this money, because really this is about money and it's being reported as if it's animal rights and crazy Dr. Oz, crazy RFK Jr. You know, it's missing the story because this people are now ringing the ostrich farm, right? Trying to save the ostriches. But I would just like to point out that when you have an ostrich farm, it's because you intend to kill every single ostrich on your farm and sell them for meat and whatever else, sometimes their skin. I mean, you're not growing them because you want to hang out with ostriches and you love them.
It can be both.
Yeah, you want to kill them. You want the meat. And if you look at the website, which has been disabled, but then I kept poking around, and I found a related company. What's the related? It's called Omega Ostrich. It's related to the farm. They're the ones that sell the meat online, and they show these packages, vacuum-packaged, different parts of the ostrich.
Yes, ostriches are sold for meat and eggs. And, Jen, as you said, there's skin, leather, ostrich leather. Who knew? I'm learning things.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. Lots of wallets made of ostrich leather.
I'm curious about fine ostrich leather now. You say it's about the money. I think it's about my freedoms. Okay, listen, a lot of people know this one. If you don't, here are the basics. Universal Ostrich Farms Incorporated, which is an ostrich farm in Edgewood, BC. They've been raising ostriches since the 1990s. Like any other ostrich farm, Universal Ostrich Farms raised ostriches for meat, but they claim that since COVID, they are raising scientific ostriches. They say that they've pivoted from meat to science, though I will note that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency cannot confirm this and has said Universal Ostrich Farm has not substantiated their claims of scientific research. CFIA has not received any evidence of scientific research being done at the infected premises. It's not clear if they are still selling ostrich meat through Omega Ostriches or not. What we do know is that in 2024, some of the birds at Universal Ostrich Farms tested positive for avian flu. 69 of their 468 ostriches died. And in December, the government said, you got to kill your ostriches and we will compensate you. You'll get $3,000 per ostrich, but you got to kill them.
What?
$3,000. Pretty good. Pretty good. Right?
$3,000? Are you sure of that?
I am sure.
Because that's more than the ostrich is worth.
I haven't done research on what the ostrich is worth.
I looked at the prices. How much is it? Let's see.
What are you looking at, like a pack of meat? The whole ostrich might be worth $3,000. I don't know.
No, it's not that much meat. I think it's $25 a pound for the meat.
And how many pounds is an ostrich?
Oh, sorry. I didn't do enough research.
Now let's talk about the leather. And what price could you place on the emotional attachment?
Yeah, you're just so happy, hey? This is John. Look at everybody. All so happy, happy, happy birds. Happy birds. Everybody's just coming in out from a drink.
And I think you get extra for disposal of the corpse. That's what the end thing is in the regulations.
So this is an absurd story.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to get enough money.
Yeah.
And avian flu is a real thing, but there's more to it than that. They're claiming their herd of ostriches are over avian flu. But like COVID, you can get reinfected and you might not have symptoms. So we don't know and we don't care. You know why? Because international trade protocols require that Canada adhere to this behavior. If you have it, you got to cull the whole herd. Otherwise, other countries are not going to buy our other ostriches or our other chickens or whatever else we're selling. They're not going to buy it. So it affects all the producers in Canada.
And otherwise, there might be a global avian flu pandemic.
That too.
You're just believing what the man wants you to believe there, Jan. So here's how this got out of hand. The farmers have become a cause célèbre. And not only do they say, look, we understand the science. Our ostriches, like the remaining ostriches, did not get avian flu. They have herd immunity. And not only do they have herd immunity, but you can't cull them because in their herd immunity, they hold the secrets to immunity for all.
We believe significant scientific knowledge may be garnered from following the ostriches in a controlled environment at Universal Ostrich Farm.
I don't know if you watched the show Last of Us, Jan, but it's all about the mushroom fungus zombie.
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, so there's a girl who is immune to the fungus that turns you into a zombie, and in her body is like that. Maybe there's a cure.
Our doctor, he thinks that the cordyceps in Ellie has grown with her since birth.
Why is she in surgery?
It produces a kind of chemical messenger. It makes normal cordyceps think that she's cordyceps. It's why she's immune. He's going to remove it from her, multiply the cells in a lab, produce those chemical messengers. And then we can give it to everyone. He thinks it could be a cure, Joel.
So the ostriches are like the girl.
No. The scientists, the generally respected scientists, say this is a lot of crap. And yes, they found a few scientists who are anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
Who say, yes, let's save these ostriches. So, you know, it's like the whole COVID thing in Looney Tunes, right? Nobody's doing this about chickens.
Well, that's just the thing, is that millions in the U.S. and Canada, like, we've been culling a whole lot of poultry, and this has a lot to do with the public outrage and the fact that this has become an international story has a lot to do with the cuteness of ostriches. And
yeah,
there is a bit of like a media history to this, Jan. So there's a whole thing about deer on Vancouver Island, and they're like a photo of a deer getting trapped in a fence.
A deer struggling to free itself from fencing installed by Parks Canada on Sydney Island.
What became like a big bleeding heart cause. And then, you know, you remember like the seal hunt and, you know, there's like a traditional way of life, but you got Paul McCartney.
So we are concerned about economics for the people. We think there's other ways to do it than to continue this brutal practice.
Brigitte Bardot and like Pamela Anderson.
Bardot's now passing on the torch to today's bustiest sex symbol.
I've never met Brigitte Bardot, but we both just have such a great love of animals.
Together, the pair are urging the Canadian ambassador in France to stop seal hunting around the Arctic.
If the animals are cute, then people get all excited.
Yeah, and often it's this weird thing. It's come from this kind of like conservationist left celebrity pet cause. There, I hit a pun. Sorry, I must be killed. And often it's like you've got communities of people who actually live in the land or live off the land being like, off. Like, we really don't need Paul McCartney telling us that we can't hunt seal. But it happened like the Montreal Coyote Hotline in 2018. That was like picked up by the BBC. Raccoon stories about Toronto have made it to The Guardian. Like, the worldwide press is a lot more interested in Canada's animals than in Canadians.
Well, they think we're wild country, right? They think that we don't have paved roads and we live in structures made out of blocks of ice.
Yes.
They stereotype us.
And it's easier for them, I think, to kind of like get on some kind of save the whales thing with our animals. Like, they don't care about our politics or our communities necessarily. But that's where the media trope ends, because it's always been from kind of the animal conservationist left in the past. And now it's coming from, as you say, it's like the exact same people who are involved in the anti-vax thing. Because now it's about government is coming onto the lands of good. It's an overreach. They want to come onto our land and they want to kill our beloved healthy animals.
Please, it's an SOS. 301 Langell Road. Let's protect these animals and protect our food security, protect our rights, protect truth, protect science, and let's protect all our families around Canada. This is overreach at its biggest, and they're being bullies, and we're going to have to bully back. So,
and that is making this a cause that has hit RFK.
These animals live to 50 years old. We should not be killing them. We should be studying them.
And Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz.
You know, we'll study these birds if you give them to us.
And it's all being fueled by Rebel News.
Drea Humphrey here with Rebel News, bringing you a report just before I'm leaving the Universal Ostrich Farms.
After the break, we'll answer the question, what do uninformed idiots and people who don't even live here have to say about all this? Yes, we'll hear from anti-lockdown protesters and Dr. Oz. Here's a clip where this guy Harm Baum, a recognizable face from past protests during COVID-19, who is once again standing up for citizen rights and government accountability.
Well, there's many issues at stake here right now, but I think one of the biggest things to me is the PCR test, especially in light of the Canada signing on with the pandemic treaty. That's a terrible thing right there. That and, like, this makes a pretext for injecting all livestock in Canada with mRNA vaccines. But yeah, this sets a bad precedent for government overreach and trying to shut down small farms and getting their fingers into everything, right? We got to protect our farms, save our farmers, protect our food supply and our livestock. It all needs to be saved, right? And also shed light on the PCR test.
This is a pretense for getting mRNA. I think that there's a conspiracy theory baked into that, that like if they can't convince you to take the shot, then they'll feed you ostrich meat that contains the mRNA. And
have you ever had ostrich?
I think I've had ostrich meat before.
It's kind of dry.
Yeah. I think that it's supposed to be like a superfood, but then I'm like, this isn't very tasty. And
yeah, it's not great. Very dry, low fat, too lean.
Yeah. Maybe if it's cooked properly. I don't know. I don't need to eat ostrich. This has been picked up by The Guardian and The New York Times. And, like, it's this incursion of things that I just don't like seeing in Canadian news. Like, RFK in partnership with this weird billion. Like, why do we care about what an American billionaire thinks? So this guy, John A. Katsimatidis, he is a American billionaire businessman and radio talk show host. And he's the president, chairman, and CEO of grocery chains, including D'Agostino in Manhattan, fancy supermarket. And now he's weighing in on this. So here he is in conversation with Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, between you and Secretary Kennedy, you guys did a great job. We hope we have saved the lives of the ostriches in British Columbia.
And again, for everyone listening, the reason this matters is not just about ostriches in British Columbia. It's about the fact that science should dictate the advances that we make, and if you're not going to follow the science, don't pretend you are. So if you have, in the case of ostriches, a flock of a couple hundred birds that got infected years ago, got better from this virus H5N1, then they got infected again last year, and they again got better, well, there's things to learn. What is it that helped these birds weather avian flu and other illnesses? And if you just kill the birds because you're worried and scared, you know, that's analogous to some of the mistakes we made during COVID, where we have these reactionary responses that were not based in science but based on bureaucracy. It undermines the confidence people have in science. And again, if you're listening at home right now, these birds live up to 50 years, right?
The antibodies these birds have might be valuable to science.
Plus, what is it that allowed them to survive this infection? Most of these birds did just fine. What genes do they have? What kinds of response do they generate? This could be life-saving to the humans. That stated, if the first response is, oh my gosh, there's terrible things could be going down in the future. We got to kill them all. Well, that's not very wise as a response. It doesn't sound very smart. And it turns out that doesn't tend to be scientifically based.
We're worried that it's a pharmaceutical company influencing the Canadian government to destroy these birds.
I don't know why they'd want to destroy the birds, but I do believe there's a broader reactionary approach to dealing with infections from COVID.
The boys have the antibodies. The boys, don't kill the boys because you're scared. What are you scared of? You need the boy. It's got it's got a magic. It's got magic in the middle of the boy. What the hell are we listening to?
I know.
If not for the fact that these people are incredibly powerful, why would you even want to boost that signal? The world we live in now.
People listen. Oh, well, anyway, we have the government regulations. It's still Canada. We're not the 51st state. So I don't know why the government isn't moving in to cull. I don't understand what the delay is.
Because they're setting this up like Waco. Like there's going to be like a standoff. Like, over my dead body, are you going to stand onto my sovereign territory? And it's become like a mecca for nut jobs who are like, Jen, there's a quarantine order on this farm and they're hosting their like fellow travelers.
Oh.
Like people are bringing their kids to this farm. No one's supposed to go to this farm. There's avian, like.
I actually Google mapped it and it's midway between Vancouver and Calgary, which means it's right in the Rockies. So it's really not easy to get to. That's the only saving grace.
No. But if you go there with your kid, like what if somebody contracts?
I know. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
These rules are there. And it's not big pharma. It's not a plot. These rules are there because we've had avian flu in many countries and the fatality rate for humans is very high. And that's why.
We really don't want avian flu. We really don't want it.
No, we don't. COVID is bad enough. SARS was bad enough. It's too much, right?
It feels like the virus that is spreading is just this insanity, this anti-rational, yeah. And it just feels like nothing is safe from it. To the extent that you might imagine that Canada is quarantined from the RFKs of the world and the Dr. Oz's of like an all, like we're not. Like they can pull us into their orbit. All they have to do is kind of recognize our existence and the headlines are generated.
And then we get dragged in.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. Not one bird pun. That's our show for today. Thank you for joining me. You can email me about it at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything that you send. Jen, I'm going to give you the option. Where can people find you or which book of yours should they go by?
You can find me at jenwong.ca. Buy all the books.
This episode is produced by James Nicholson. Our associate producer is Lucy Lomonier, who also did the fact check on this episode. Mixing and mastering by Tristan Capicchione. Our director of audio is Max Collins. I am the editor and publisher of Canada Land. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca.
This is Bird Note. Some birds spend most of their lives on the open ocean, only coming to land when it's time to breed. These high sea specialists are called pelagic birds, and the best way to see them for yourself is by setting sail. Pelagic birding tours and whale watching cruises are a great way to experience oceanic species in their element. These voyages often begin with the raucous calls of gulls, terns, and pelicans that frequent coastlines. But just a few miles offshore, these species give way to true maritime marvels like jaegers, also called skuas. These dark, gull-like birds are fearsome hunters and skilled thieves who use their aerial prowess to snatch fish from other animals. Even further out to sea, petrels, shearwaters, and albatrosses make life on the wind look like a breeze. They sport tubular structures above their bills that help them excrete salt from seawater and navigate by smell. Their long pointed wings are perfect for gliding vast distances with minimal effort. Keep an eye out for dainty seafarers too, like the robin-sized red phalarope. During the winter months, these slender shorebirds' plumage turns a ghostly gray, blending seamlessly into the frothy waves. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
This is